going to look at verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. Amen. Let's go into the word of the Lord. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, I thank you for your word and the anointing that is on your word. I ask you now, God, that you would speak through me, your servant today, God, what thus saith the Lord to your people. And God, we'll be sure to give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the topic, the cry of desperation. The cry of desperation. We pick up this story. We are introduced to a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, I've taught you many times, but I'm going to refresh again, that Bar in the Bible means son of. So Bartimaeus was, that's his actual name, meant son of Timaeus. So he was called Bartimaeus. When you hear in the Bible, Simon Bar Jonah, that means Simon, son of Jonah. So anytime you're studying names, and that's one of my hobbies, is to study Bible names and places, because you learn so much about them. But anytime you see the word Bar in their name, that means son of. So Bartimaeus actually means son of Timaeus. Now, Timaeus actually means highly prized. So Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus, which means highly prized. So he was the seed of someone named highly prized, but Bartimaeus had an issue. He was blind. So here he is, the son of highly prized, but he couldn't see it. He was the son of highly prized, but he couldn't see it. What happened to him caused him to lose his identity. He didn't know who he was. He was born blind. Bartimaeus was blind, and he didn't know who he was. He didn't see himself as others saw him. He didn't know anything about him. You see, if you don't know who you are, then it is impossible for you to know who your father is. And according to what we know today, is if you don't know who your father is, that makes you illegitimate. Now, let me help you with this. Illegitimate means not authorized by law. So if you don't know who you are and you don't know who God your Father is, then you are considered illegitimate. And there are a lot of people today that are saved, but they still don't know who they are in God. There's a lot of people today that have been born again, but they still don't know who God is in their life. We teach and have taught for years and years and years that God is up there in heaven just waiting on us to mess up so he can throw a lightning bolt down and kill us. Or God's just waiting on us to mess up so he can throw judgment on us. And God is a just God. God will have judgment upon this earth. But God is also a loving God and a forgiving God and a compassionate God and a God of chance after chance after chance. Amen. And he is sitting up in heaven waiting on opportunities to bless us. But if you don't know who God is, you can't enjoy those blessings, because if you don't know who your father is, then you're illegitimate and you are not authorized to receive those blessings. Oh, wow. Illegitimate means not authorized by law. So if you don't know that God is your father, then you can't receive all those blessings. Are y'all tracking with me? Because when you understand how things work in the kingdom of God, the king has absolute authority. It's not up for debate. It's not up for questions. What God says is what God says. I told you last week, God don't care about our opinion. If God's word says this is sin, or God's word said this is wrong, God don't need us to debate him. Amen. Take God's word for what it says. Amen. But also understanding that God is the king. I'm a child of the king. They sung that song a while ago. It said, I am a child of God. I've been called many things in my life. But a child of God is the greatest thing you can be called. Amen. I've been called things I don't want to repeat. But being called a child of God is the greatest thing you can be called. Amen. Because what happens when you understand that you're a child of the king, that entitles you to the benefits of the king's household. Amen. If you go to your parents' house, you don't ask them, can you go in their refrigerator? No. If I was to go to my parents' house and ask them, could I get a drink out of the refrigerator, they'd probably smack me. Because they're like, you're home. This is your house. Even though you don't live here, you're still home. If my kids come in and say, is it okay if I fix a sandwich? I'm going to be like, if you lost your mind, go in there and fix you a sandwich. I'm helping you. So we understand how that works in the natural. So why do we go to God, who is our Father, and we beg him for what he's already told us is ours? And we go, oh God, if you please would heal my body, God, just please, God. And we're begging God, and the Bible already says it's by his stripes we were healed. God, would you please just bless me, God? I just don't know how I'm gonna make it through. God, you gotta help me. And God said, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I'll open up doors for you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against him. He said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. I'll do all these wonderful things for you. And we're over here begging God for what's already ours. See, that's why we don't enjoy all the blessings and the favor of God, is because it hadn't clicked in our minds what it means to be a child of God. That entitles me this. And we got so many people today that are saved, but they're still illegitimate because they don't know who their father is. So this was the place that Bartimaeus was in. He was the son of highly prized, but he couldn't see it. You got to know that even when things are going rough in your life, that God's still in control. Even when things are going bad in your life, God's still in control. When things are going good, God's in control. When things are going bad, God's still in control. And we have to trust God in spite of. You remember when Jesus found the fishermen on the bank of the, and they had been fishing all night long and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, you know, go let down your nets. And they said, you know, we've been fishing all night, but we hadn't caught anything. But nevertheless, that means in spite of everything that's happened, I'm going to still trust you. And the Bible says they let down their net and caught so many fish that their boat began to sink. Sometimes you got to have a nevertheless attitude. In spite of what's going on in my life, I'm going to still serve God. In spite of what's happened in my life, I'm going to still serve God. Even if folks at church have hurt my feelings, I'm going to still serve God. Amen. Why? Because if your relationship with God is dependent on how people treat you, you're not going to serve God very long. Why? Because you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get your feathers ruffled. Somebody's going to say something that you don't like. But your relationship is not with man. Your relationship is God. And God will never, ever let you down. Amen. God will never let you down. So people that come to me and say, I can't go to church because I got hurt, it's a cop-out. I'm sorry. I can't go to church because there's hypocrites there. Well, it can always use one more. Come on. Whew. That hurt my feelings. but anyway, people, I can't go to church because of this, and I can't go to church because of that. Hey, it ain't about people. It's about Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him. Hey, folks can love me or folks can hate me. That has no bearing on whether I serve God or not. Amen. Because there's coming a day that we're all going to stand before him. And we're not going to stand before God based on somebody's opinion. We're not going to stand before God based on what somebody thinks about us, or how highly somebody thinks about us, or how lowly somebody thinks about us. We're going to stand before God based on, have we lived our lives for him? Are we saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. So let folks think what they want to think. Let them say what they want to say. I'm not standing before man on that final day. I'm going to stand before a holy God, and I'm going to be judged according to his holy word. Amen. Know who your father is, and quit trying to convince people. Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus, but he couldn't see it. And because he could not see, he was forced into a lifestyle of begging. What did I tell you a while ago? When you don't know who your father is, you beg God for what's already yours. And there are so many people today inside the body of Christ that are begging God all the time. And God did not call us to be beggars. God did not create us to be beggars. He created us to be praisers. God created us to be praisers. Everything about God, He wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. And he just blesses our socks off. God didn't call us to be beggars, but because Bartimaeus could not see, he was forced into a lifestyle of begging. Now, what you must understand is the culture of those times was so much different than the culture of the times we live in today. During those times, if you were born with some type of disability, whether it was crippling or blindness or mute or deaf or whatever it is, if you were born or had some type of crippling disability, it was common for you to be forced into a lifestyle of begging. And you would be dependent upon people's kindness for your survival. It was commonplace during that time. So it was just Bartimaeus was following the rules of society by going into a lifestyle of begging. You see, when you are unable to see whose seed that you are, it will force you to beg and become dependent on what other folks can do for you. Bartimaeus was at a point in his life that he was begging, and whatever happened in his life depended on what somebody else could do for him. Let me help you this morning. If you have to always go around to have somebody else to tell you that you're a good father, or you have to have somebody to tell you you're a good mother, or you have to have somebody to tell you that you're good at this and you're good at that, then you've got an issue because you have been dependent on what others think of you to validate you. You have to know that you're enough right by yourself. If you are single in this house, you got to know you're enough by yourself before, because you will never be enough with somebody else. Stop trying to find people to validate you. And know that God validates you when he washed you in his blood. Amen. And when he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is on the VIP list, and you have been validated by God. Quit running around asking people to validate what God has already did. Amen. I don't run around and ask people, well, do you think I'm doing a good job? I don't run around and, do you think that was okay to you? That's what my wife is for. Because she will tell me, oh, you tanked that one. Oh, come on, Pastor. You're not being very preachery today. Like, I'm trying. Everybody else got wives. I got Jiminy the Cricket. She helps keep me straight most of the time. Amen. Hey, if you got a good woman, thank God for her. Amen. Mine tells me all the time, well, the husband's the head. My wife goes, but the wife is the neck. Which is code for I will cut your throat. So let's move on. All the men are sitting there going, I'm not saying nothing. It's too cold to sleep on the couch. So Bartimaeus was at a place in his life that he was seeking what other folks could do for him. He was seeking how other people could help him. And it's bad to be at a place in your life where all you can depend on is people rather than depending on God and knowing who you are. But one thing you got to understand is many times when a person loses one of their senses, their other senses begin to operate at a higher level. Someone that doesn't have the ability to see usually has a very heightened sense of hearing. We see this even in the animal kingdoms, that they may not be able to see well, but they can hear a mile away. So Bartimaeus is probably one of those that he couldn't see, but his other senses were at a heightened level. We see this even today. Now, the Bible said he didn't have the ability to see, but there was absolutely nothing wrong with his hearing. Y'all with me? Romans 10 and 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is possible that Bartimaeus had been hearing about what Jesus was doing. He had been hearing about all the things that Jesus was doing. So it is possible that he had a heightened sense of faith because he had never seen what God could do. He had never seen Jesus in person. He had never had an encounter and seen him do miracles and heal. But he had heard about him. And it got into his heart. It got into his spirit. That's why our scripture starts out. It says, and when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He heard it. He said, oh, that's the Jesus I've been hearing about. That's the Jesus that healed the leper. That's the Jesus that's raised the dead. That's the Jesus that turned water into wine. That's the Jesus that can walk on water. Hey, I've got to get a hold of this guy, because let me tell you something. If God did it for them, he can do it for me. And if God did it for them, he can do it for you. You just got to know who he is and believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when you believe that God can do it for you, that faith rises up in you and it opens the door for God to work miracles in your life. Amen. Every time Bartimaeus heard people talk about Jesus and what he had done, it resulted in faith. Faith was rising. It wasn't that it just wasn't happening. Faith had to rise to the level it couldn't be contained. That's why Bartimaeus was at a point. He was like, I've been believing God for so long. I've been hearing about it for so long. And now Jesus is here. He said, I am not fixing to let somebody stand in my way. The Bible said what he had been hearing about. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. What he had been hearing about was now just arm's length away. We say this so many times, it's so close I can almost touch it. Hey, when Jesus came by, Bartimaeus said, what I've been hearing about, what I've been believing for is so close I can almost touch it. He had been hearing it, but he hadn't seen it yet. You know, there may be things that you hear in your spirit, but you hadn't seen them yet. You know, there's things that you're dreaming about, but you hadn't seen it yet. You may be down in your spirit, you may be wanting this particular kind of marriage, but you hadn't seen it yet. Down in your spirit, you may be wanting this particular type of job, but you hadn't seen it yet. There may be all kind of things that you are sensing down in your spirit that maybe you hadn't told anyone about, but you've just been feeling it down in your spirit, and you've been hearing it. Lord, I just feel this so strong in my spirit, but I hadn't seen it yet. This is where Bartimaeus was. He had been hearing it and hearing about what Jesus could do, but it hadn't manifested yet. But I believe, amen, as Jesus Christ filled this house, as his presence was filling this house this morning, that some things we've been hearing in our spirit, God's about to make us see them. That some things we've been hearing in our spirit, God's about to help us see them. Because when God comes by, amen, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. You want to know why we begin to feel the Spirit of God so strong in here? It's because we was praising. We was worshiping him. And God's attracted to it. It's like a bloodhound. He's attracted to that praise. He's attracted to us worshiping him, and his presence comes in. And what happens when God's presence shows up? Everything that's wrong starts turning out right. Everything that's wrong starts getting right when God shows up. So Bartimaeus said, I've been hearing it, but I hadn't seen it yet. So he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The reason he referred to Jesus as Son of David is because he was saying, I recognize you as the Messiah. There were a lot of people that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And there's a lot of people today that believe Jesus was just a prophet and a good man. But I want to tell you, he is the Son of God that came down wrapped up in flesh. Amen. Died on a cross for you and I. Rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. And there is coming a day very soon that he is going to step out on the clouds and call us home. Amen. I believe it with all of my heart that Jesus is who he says he is. He is perfect in every way. Amen. He's never done anything wrong. And he died in my place because he loved me. Amen. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Son of David. He said, I recognize that you're the Messiah. Have mercy on me. He said he was letting Jesus know, I believe that you are the Messiah. My question today is, do you really believe? You know, it's one thing to say I'm a Christian and I believe in God, but do you believe that God can do the impossible? Do you believe that God can take any situation and turn it around? The first song our praise team sung this morning was God Will Turn It Around. Do you believe God can take even the worst situation and turn it around? Amen. If you don't believe that, see me. I want to introduce you to some people that were in horrible situations, that go to this church right now, that were in horrible, horrible situations. Folks that I've put handcuffs on and took to jail and took dope off of them. Horrible situations, but God completely turned their lives around. So there's no place, amen, there's no situation that God can't take and turn completely around. So, but you have to believe it. You have to believe in who He is. And a lot of people, you know, when Jesus was doing miracles and signs and wonders, and they brought people to Jesus as disciples, and they couldn't do the things that Jesus did. And Jesus, and they asked Jesus, they said, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, because you don't believe. Do you know that if we would just believe and really believe what God's word says, who God is, we could do great things for the kingdom of God. And it would change the way we look at people. We would look at people that we may look at today with disgust because they're dripping in sin. And instead of pointing our religious finger at them and saying, oh, they're so nasty, they're so dirty, I don't even want to be around them, I don't even want to be seen with them, we could look at them and say, God loves them just as much as He loves me. And Jesus died for them just like He died for me. And God can change their life if they will open up their heart to Him. It'll change if you really believe that God can do the impossible. It opens up your mind and opens up your avenues to do so much more ministry. I spend 90% of my time with people dripping in sin. Why? Because if all I ever want to hang out with is saved people, how am I going to lead anybody to Jesus? And people say, you don't care, you're a preacher and you want to be around all that mess? Absolutely. Well, you're not offended by it? Why? Why am I offended when a sinner person sins? Duh. What do you expect? Hello? But maybe I can be some light where they say, hey, there's a different way. Hey, there may be more to this. And you know, some people that are struggling today and are bound in addictions and bound in their past and bound up with all these things, sometimes they just need somebody to love them. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us in our sin. And guess what? I'm going to love people all the way to Jesus. And we should all do the same thing. We should all be okay with doing that. Let's move on. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah, not because of what he had seen, but because of what he had heard. That's faith. That's faith. Lord, I hadn't seen it yet, but I'm believing for it. Lord, you hadn't answered this prayer yet, but I'm believing you'd answer it. Lord, you hadn't did this yet, but I'm still believing it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God, I hadn't seen it, but yet I'm still believing for it. Amen. Can you believe God even when you don't see it? Can you trust God even when you don't see how it's going to work out? Are y'all tracking with me? Can you believe God to make a way when you don't see a way? Can you believe Him for a miracle when everybody else has given up? Can you believe God to do the impossible when everybody else said you might as well give up, stop praying for Him, you're wasting your time? I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. If you don't know, I work in law enforcement as well, but we picked up a guy one night that didn't even know that he was in the world. He was so messed up on methamphetamines. Took him to the hospital for a blood test, had to stick him 9 times to find a vein because he had blowed all his veins out. He was laid over in the back of the patrol unit, out of his mind, and I was sitting in there with him. The other officer with me had to go into dispatch. I was sitting in the unit with him, and I called him by his name. I said, I want you to know something. And he mumbled, what? And I said, God loves you. And I said, He has a plan for your life. And if you will just turn your heart over to Him, He can change your life. And I talked to some other officers, and I said, I tried to share Jesus with this guy. I don't know how much of it he even heard. He was so messed up. And one of the officers told me, said, "You're wasting your prayer on that one. He'll never change." And that pricked my heart so bad. Not to say this is a bad officer, because as officers, you have to understand what is seen all the time, and you're plunged in evil all the time, and it's dealing with the same people over and over. It's very easy to get to that place. So please don't think bad of that officer. But it gripped my heart that in society that we live in, it's very easy to get so cynical that we think people are beyond help. But we as Christians have to look at it differently, that we can see them so strung out, so messed up, but yet we can still share Jesus with them. Now, what they do with it is up to them. Far as I know, I hadn't seen this guy since then. I don't know where he's at in his life. I've seen his name in the jail docket a few times, so he didn't really heed what I said, but I still shared Jesus with him. I still share Jesus with him. And we have to be to that place. Can we believe when everybody else has given up? 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Can you believe for a yes when everybody else is saying no? Can you believe God to do the impossible when everybody else is saying it's not going to happen? It's a cry for desperation. You know, but the Bible says that many people told him to stop shouting. The Bible says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, they said, Bartimaeus, stop all that screaming. Stop all that shouting. Many people told him to stop, to be quiet. Bartimaeus, why are you so excited because Jesus is around? Ooh, that kind of sounds like we're getting into church folks now. Why you get so excited just because we're worshiping God? Why you got to lift your hands, and why you got to say praise the Lord, and why you want to dance around and do all that? Why are you so excited because Jesus is around? Why, Bartimaeus, why are you doing all this? Because they were too comfortable when Jesus was around. You see, the thing that gets a lot of people today is we serve God for some length of time, and we go to church, and God's presence is moving, and we can sit in God's house and it not be a big deal. We can see God moving and it not affect us. Oh, that's just the young folks. They'll simmer down and become a pew warmer like us. Some people are content to sit on a church pew and be a bump on a pickle. Not moving, not doing anything, but then gripe about the people that are. That's why statistics say that 20% of the church folks do 80% of the work. The other ones just sit around and complain about, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like the color. Well, I didn't see you with a paintbrush. Well, I don't like the color of that carpet. Well, we couldn't afford to buy anymore because you won't pay tithes. That's why I don't do a lot of counseling. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Well, maybe if you'd show up to a meeting, you'd know what's going on. Well, I don't know what's going on at our church. Well, you didn't show up to the business meeting. I'm sorry. Let me move on before I get in trouble. Many told him to be quiet. Bartimaeus, it don't take all that. Let me show you how this happens. If you read over, we're in the book of Mark. We're in Mark 10. But if you read over in Mark chapter 2, you find a man that was sick of palsy. And there was four of his buddies that were carrying him. And they got to Jesus. It said it was noise that Jesus was in the house. And they couldn't get in the door because the house was full. People were piled up around the door. And they couldn't get to Jesus. So what they did was they climbed up on the roof. And they tore the roof off of somebody's house. It wasn't Jesus' house. I'm sure that homeowner was mad. They tore the roof off the house, and they let this guy down in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed him. That's in Mark chapter 2. But just a few chapters over, Jesus had been with them for a while. Okay? Jesus had been walking with them. They had been seeing Jesus do all these stuff. But when you get to Mark chapter 14, from Mark chapter 2, they're tearing the roof off because Jesus is in the house. But when you get over to Mark chapter 14, a woman walks in, dripping in sin, with an alabaster box. And she comes down and she breaks her box and she begins to worship Jesus. And the Bible says those that were in the house became indignant. In other words, they were furious because she was worshiping. And they said, why couldn't this oil be sold and given to the poor. Why couldn't this? In other words, they said her worship is too expensive. Her worship's costing too much because the oil that she poured on Jesus was the equivalent of 1 year's wages. In other words, they said, why is such a waste being made? Her worship's too expensive. It's costing too much. Mark chapter 2, they're tearing the roof off because Jesus is in the house. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 14, they're mad because somebody's worshiping. See how it happens? When you spend time with Jesus and you're around him for some time, Jesus can be in the house and it not be a big deal. But when somebody comes in, that Jesus is still a big deal to them, we sit there and be like, who do they think they are? I can't believe they're acting like that. I can't believe they're doing that. That's why I told you, don't ever judge somebody's worship because you don't know what they've been through. They may be shouting and praising. Why? Because they used to have a needle stuck in their arm. They may be shouting and praising because they was in rehab. They may be shouting and praising because God delivered them out of all that mess and gave them a new life and gave them a clean slate. Hey, don't ever judge somebody's worship because you have no idea where they've been. Hey, there may be some people that you're okay to sit in God's presence and be like, God's not a big deal. But hey, the Bible says, to whom he who is forgiven much, much is required. Hey, God's forgiven me a lot of stuff, and I refuse to be in God's presence and not respond to him. Well, people may look at you funny, so? People may talk about you, so? Taking this out of context, but what does the Bible say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say what? So? That's completely out of context. Don't quote me on that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, your worship's about you and God. And if somebody don't understand that, that's their problem. If somebody wants to talk about me for worshiping God, talk away. Because I'm going to spend eternity worshiping God. Amen. And if folks have a problem with folks worshiping God, they're going to be having a tough time in heaven. I have absolutely no rhythm at all. I can't dance a lick at all. I'm talking, I didn't ask for amens right there. I can't dance at all, but I've asked God. I said, God, when I get to heaven, let me dance. Lord, that's one of the things, I can't sing a lick. God called me to preach, not to sing. So I've asked God, God, let me be able to sing and let me be able to dance when I get to heaven. So guess what? If you don't like getting down, don't have your mansion side mine. Because I'm going to cut up. Why? Because it's going to be eternity in heaven. Hey, no more sickness, no more pain, no more letdown, no more heartache. Just eternal life in God's presence. Man, that's something to get excited about. Amen? To me, that's something to get excited about, that I'm going to live forever in heaven. Walking on streets of gold, money's not going to be an issue. Sickness is not going to be an issue. Your kids are going to behave. That's enough to shout about. No more getting them up and the devil coming out in them at 6 in the morning to get them ready for school. That will test your salvation. My kids wake up and turn over, and it's like the exorcism. Their head spin around 3 times. And I'm like, who are you and where is my child? I'm sorry, if that don't happen at your house, y'all need to give me some pointers. I don't care how saved you are, your kids. Oh. So in heaven, everything's going to be great. So let me move on. So Jesus has to be a big deal. But these people started telling Bartimaeus, you got to calm down. You don't take all of that, Bartimaeus. And the Bible says the more that they told him to calm down, the greater he cried. The louder he got. Amen. That's what we need to do as a body of Christ, not just this church, but God's people. The more the secular world is telling us to be quiet and calm down, the louder we should get. Amen. The louder we should get. They're passing law. They passed a law in New York last week that they can kill babies up to the day before birth. They can abort babies. That is murder. Sorry. If you have a problem with that, I may not be your preacher. That is murder. Life begins before conception. Amen. God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you. So I believe life begins before conception. When God decides he's got a plan for a person, before he even begins to create them, he knows them. Amen. I've been rebuked as a pastor before because of my stand on abortion, but I will not back up from that. Amen. But as the world wants the church to be silent, we have to cry even more that God's coming back. That Jesus, there is a way through Jesus Christ. That there you don't have to follow what's just the popular and the norm with the world when God called us to be followers of Christ. Amen. They told him, be quiet, be quiet. You know, I sometimes wonder what was going through those people's minds that was telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. Because chances are, everybody that was telling him to be quiet had the ability to see. You know, just because you may not need something from God doesn't mean that the person next to you doesn't. They didn't need what he needed from God. And they were telling him to be quiet. Bartimaeus said, don't take all that. Just calm down. But they had the ability to see. Don't ever get to the point that you tell somebody that is in worse shape than you are and you pass judgment on them because of how they're trying to get a hold of God. Don't get wrapped up in that. Because you may not need what they need in their life. You may not need, you know, when you see somebody with their hands up and they're worshiping God and they're praising God, that don't mean everything's good in their life. That don't mean everything's peachy king in their life. That means they just desperate to get a hold of God. And God, I'm going to worship you in spite of what I'm going through. God, in spite of how I'm hurting, I'm going to worship you. Because I need to get in your presence. People will say all the time, I need God to show up. I just don't know what to do. I got to have God to show up. The Bible tells us God inhabits what? Praise. If you need God to show up, start worshiping him. Well, I don't feel like worshiping. How bad do you need him to show up? How bad do you need him to show up? That's why the devil fights worship so hard. That's why he fights worship so hard. You're over there worshiping, yeah, I love you, Lord. And then all of a sudden in the back of your mind, there's somebody staring at you. Wonder if so-and-so don't understand it. Why? I can't be hindered by what worried about what somebody else thinks. Can I give you some real life? If you constantly worry about what other people think, you'll never do nothing. Because it is impossible to make everybody happy. The Bible even tells you, be wary when all people speak good about you. I like folks talking about me. Why? Can I help you with that? You say, why would you want folks talking about you? Why would you want folks putting you down? When you know the scripture, you begin to understand that. Enemies are necessary. You have to have enemies. What? Enemies are necessary. What does Psalms 23 tells us? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my what? Enemies. So when your enemies are present, that means God's sitting at your table. So let them hate on you. Let them talk about you. Because when folks are hating on you and folks are running their mouth about you and all that, that means God's going to bless you right in front of them. So guess what? When your enemies start showing up, start getting excited. When they talk about me, I'm like, whoop, whoop. When they talk, I don't do that right off. First, my flesh wants to come up and I want to jump on them. But then I pray about it. And then I get excited. It's a work in progress, guys. The first thing when somebody talks about you, you're not all like, oh, I love you, Jesus. You'd be like, who does that heifer think they are? Oh, y'all say, folks, is, mm-hmm. Y'all know.
somebody run you down, the first thing you want to do is jump on them. Let's move on. Are we really hungry, like Bartimaeus? Are we really hungry for a move of God? But the Bible said they told him to be quiet, but he cried out even more. And then the Bible said that Jesus, he got the attention of Jesus. You know, it's one thing to try to get the attention of people. Some people do things to get attention. Those folks jerk my nerves. If there's a lot of attention-seeking folks. If you don't know that, open up your Facebook. Ooh. There's a lot of people just starving for attention. But what they don't understand is that attention that they're starving for is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it fulfills you. Hey, me and God, we got this. I love my wife. I love my children. And I will mess you up over my wife and my kids. But me and God's enough. Just like my wife and God is enough. My children and God is enough. You see what I'm saying? You got to, don't get so caught up in trying to get people's attention. Get God's attention. Get God's attention. Jesus stood still and Bartimaeus got his attention. The Spirit of God was moving and Bartimaeus began to cry out and God said, I got to check this out. Why? Because God's always drawn to the cry of desperation. God told Moses at the burning bush, he said, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt by reason of their taskmaster. He said, I've heard the cry of desperation. You see, when you become desperate for God, it gets his attention. When you become desperate for God, does it mean when you get everything in your life right? Absolutely not. If the only time we could come to God is when everything in our life was right, nobody could come to God, including me and including you. Well, you don't know me, preacher. Well, I know that you ain't perfect. And all my amens died. Some people think they got it all figured out. I've been preaching 20 years, and I still don't got it all figured out. Watch this. He kept persisting, and the cry of desperation got the attention of God. So Jesus said, bring Bartimaeus to me. Bring Bartimaeus to me. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus cast off his garment, came to Jesus. We read this, and I think we miss it many times because, again, I teach you a lot about garments and about names and stuff like that. And Bartimaeus cast off his garments. Clothes in the Bible showed your standing. Rich people had robes that they wore. Poor people had robes that they wore. Rabbis had different clothes that they wore. Beggars had clothes that they wore, signifying them a beggar. In those days, the clothes that you wore signified you by what you were. And some of that's trickled on today. Some of you people that want to wear spandex and just because it's in your size don't mean that. I'm going to leave that alone. Summer's coming. But the clothes that they wore signified. So Bartimaeus was signified as a beggar. But the Bible says when he came to Jesus, he cast it off. He had such faith that saying, now that I'm getting to Jesus, I won't need that anymore. Hey, there's some times in life when you decide to go to Jesus, you got to throw some stuff away. You got to throw some stuff away. You know, God loves us, but sometimes we got to get rid of some baggage. And the Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. What happens to an airplane if it's got too much weight on it? It can't get off the ground. They have to get some baggage off of it. They have to get some baggage off of it. The reason some of us can't ever seem to get off the ground and do what God wants us to do is because we're too heavy. We got too much stuff and we need to get rid of some baggage. We need to throw some stuff away. Hey, you come to God, leave the past in the past. Leave all that mess behind you. Leave all that failure behind you. Leave all that stuff. Why? Because the Bible says when God forgives us, he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. Amen. He cast them away from us. So Bartimaeus cast off what was on him. In other words, he had been sitting in that mess long enough. Sister Beverly, would you come? He had been sitting in that mess long enough. He had been sitting in all that junk long enough. And he said, I'm getting out of this mess. Let me tell you something. When you decide to get out of the mess, you'll get out of it. But not before. I can pray for you till I'm blue in the face. And it won't help you until you make up in your mind you're coming out. Sorry. Whatever it may be that you're dealing with in your life, you may be struggling with things in your life, you won't come out of it until you make up in your mind, I'm coming out. I'm getting out of this mess. I'm getting out of this situation. And Jesus asked him, he says, what do you want from me? He said, you finally got my attention. What do you want from me? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. Hello. In other words, he was standing before Jesus and he said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. So when he opened his eyes, the first thing he saw was Jesus. In other words, he said, I want to see what I've been hearing about. I want to see what I've been hearing in my spirit. I want to see what everybody's talking about. I want to see what I've been hearing. I want to see what I've been hearing. I've been believing, but God, I'm ready to see it. I've been hearing it in my spirit, but now I'm ready to see it manifest. Now's not the time to give up. God hears the cries of desperation. Are you desperate enough for it? Would you stand with me all over the house? Would you bow your heads with me, please? During our worship this morning, Vicki came over to me and said, we've got heaven's attention this morning. And I believe that. Hey, guess what? We've got God's attention here in this house today. And I believe that God is asking today during this altar service, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Hey, we've done our cry of desperation. Has got a hold of God. He's standing here today. And the question is, what do you want from me? And as we give this altar call today, whatever it is you believe in God for, whatever it is you're wanting from God, he's here today. You just have to be willing to ask him for it. And as I open these altars today, if you have a need today that you're believing God for something and you need God to work, these altars are open if you'd like to come and spend some time with God and let him know what you want. If you would, please come. Some of our prayer team would come pray with these that have come this morning.
Touching every heart, I would. Waymaker, miracle worker. if you need to step out, we understand. We're not going to stop praying in the office. You're welcome to stay and worship. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. Miracle worker, way maker, miracle.